So when I see the number of the beast and I think about the Antichrist and the whole thing, I just see it keep repeating itself over and over. I think that it was almost prescient. I don't like John when it comes to studying Jesus, but I really love to read John because everything he did has stuck for 2,000 years in ways that other stuff doesn't stick to the wall. And we see it recycle over and over and over through history. Hitler was certainly, he fit all of that. But clearly, when you look at it historically, it's very simple.
Conservatives.
You just found yourself a piece of Thomas. Now, why is this important? Because he's not in your Bible. That's okay. Thomas wrote this 120 years before anything that we have up here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in 200, or maybe 175, but 200. But this is 80 AD it was dated to. There's a lot of scholars that don't want to do that because then they got to redo the Bible.
Yeah, okay. Well, this podcast brought to you in part by Noble Gold Investments. No, real quick though, folks, I would like to share with you an opportunity. This is a 5-ounce America the Beautiful silver coin. It's about the size of a hockey puck, and you can get one of these gifted to you for free. You just, if you qualify, find out how. Call up Noble Gold Investments. They got an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless 5-star reviews. I just read a comment the other day where somebody had a $100,000 IRA that they converted through Noble Gold. And this is an opportunity for you. So if you want to add this to your bank, if you want to build up your metal bank, you can also convert into crypto. So it's pretty cool. And then you can move back and forth. There's a lot of options. And it's really easy to work with them. And they're also giving out free ebooks for Leak Project listeners. So give them a call, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And that's leakprojectgold.com. Find out why banks are spending billions on gold right now. There's actually records that have been broken over the past couple of years on the amount of gold that banks are buying. The experts are predicting $2,600 as a by next year, possibly, with gold. That'd be a nice bump. Anyway,
that would be actually a real good bump. I've collected gold for about 2 decades, and I always just pick it up. Usually when somebody has a woman, now here we are. And again, guys, here's how you should buy gold. Get them at the estate sale, okay? Because at the estate sale, I have bought the woman who I've bought the most gold from in my life was, her mom died, and she said, Kevin, I have all this gold, and I heard that you buy gold. And I go, I do buy gold. And she says, well, but I have all this gold. And I said, I'll give you what the cost of gold is. And I said, go online, find out what it is, drop me a note, and I'll buy you everything you have. And so that was my biggest one-day purchase ever of gold. I bought it $470 an ounce. And that was in 2004, 2005, something like that. And today we're at about 1900. And gosh, I like my gold. The silver
it
too.
Feels, it just got a feeling to it, right? You hold on to it and it's like solid, man.
When you show people gold, there is something special and unique that happens. This is like, this goes back before Jesus, right? It's like gold has been big, silver and gold forever. So anyway, so it's better than a good investment. It keeps you stable for the rest of your life financially. So, I mean, there's just no question. And it's quoted from the Book of Thomas. It dates to 80 AD. This is 100 years earlier than anything that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. 100 years earlier. So for you Christians out there who are conservatives, you just found yourself a piece of Thomas. Now, why is this important? Because he's not in your Bible. That's okay. Thomas wrote this 120 years before anything that we have up here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in 200, or maybe 175, but 200. But this is 80 AD it was dated to. There's a lot of scholars that don't want to do that because then they got to redo the Bible, because now we know that this, and this is just basically found in Thomas. It's also found sort of in Luke, and it's also found sort of in Matthew. Okay. So it's like, it is in Thomas. So what we have here is the oldest surviving piece of Oh, here, yeah, here's the translation. Let's look at it. And you can see, you'll recognize it. A lot of people will. The official translation of that, this is how they label this stuff now, is Papyrus Oxyrhynchus 5575. And basically, it's just straight out of the Book of Thomas. It's like he died. And the reason that there's like all these brackets is because these are 2,000 years old and they were stored in a garbage dump. No kidding. These were all found in a garbage dump in Oxyrhynchus, Egypt. But like everything that we have, it's all found in Egypt if it's the New Testament. For I tell you, you fast, you will never find the kingdom unless the kingdom of God, unless you, and these are all the words that are there. The bracketed words aren't there. But we know that this is from the Gospel of Thomas because you just open up the Gospel of Thomas, you find the, and this is like what it says. We didn't have that until, what, 2 months ago? Really, this is like, that's how new this is. And it's very controversial. People are freaking out like, oh my gosh, this can't be that old, but it is. So that's what this is. So conservative Christians have this amazing thing. They say, look, we can now show you that there is a gospel that goes back really close. And what's really amazing about 80 AD as a day, this is during a period right after the Jewish war against Rome, where everybody in Judea and Galilee was essentially killed. It was a genocide. And because of that, there were no Jews left. They killed all the Qumranites, all the people, all the Essenes. They killed everybody there. They killed all the people at the top of Masada. Everybody was dead, okay? The only people who are alive that are Jewish are now in the Roman Empire up north, okay? There's nothing else down here. So for this to date to 80 means that this was written in Alexandria, Egypt, by people who had the Book of Thomas, and it's very possible that that could actually date back to before the Jewish War, written by Thomas, who actually was the identical twin of Jesus according to his gospel, okay? He was Didymus. So this is a stunning revelation. This is just awesome to have this. And if you're not a conservative Christian, if you're a liberal and you want to look at this, you go, see, look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 280. Big deal. We've got the Book of Thomas. I like the Gnostics better. Okay. Well, Thomas wasn't really a Gnostic. He was sort of like in the middle. He was like a libertarian, right? He was like me. He was a pretty good guy. You know, he saw both sides. And Thomas was a great writer. And he captured a lot of Jesus' words that were in the Gospels and a lot that weren't. About 50-50 in the Book of Thomas. Everybody should read the Book of Thomas because it you'll see who Jesus is. It's the best picture of Jesus that we have. And that's what's there. So anyhow, so that's this. People should go home feeling good about that. I think that's so cool. Oh, this is now we're just sort of into cool things too. I know that didn't you do a panel on the Book of Revelation, part of it or something?
Yeah, I decoded chapter 13, man. It was crazy the way it came to me, but and this one's interesting. I've got several theories on this, but it seems cyclical. Can you
do me a favor and tell the audience what your take on Revelation 13 is, because I'm curious, and then I want to share what's here.
Okay. Well, I think that when they wrote it at the time, it had something to do with what they were experiencing. So
of course,
I don't think that they were writing what's going on now. And I don't think when they wrote the Mark of the Beast is 666, they knew that it was going to be this patent that Microsoft had now. That's the W0606061 patent. But what I do find really weird when I say cyclical is if you read this, it says no man can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And it's the number three, it's 6-3-fold. And I'm like, okay, well, let's look at this patent for Microsoft. And it's a digital currency that's linked to your body movement and your body activity. And it will pay you when you've done the task that it's deemed you to do. And it could get to a point where, I mean, the technology could become so intrusive that it could potentially, like, if you think something that you're not supposed to think, well, it could be like Pavlov's dog. You ain't getting that snack. So I've just thought to myself, this reminds me of the mark of the beast in the Bible, the way that it just says you can't buy or sell. And I'm like, it's either. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, they're throwing it in our face. They're using it as a marketing tool to try and make people think, hey, look, it's biblical. You're going to have to take it no matter what, sucker. Or you're going to get your head chopped off, because that's what people are told, man. If you're Christian, like when I was growing up, they told this one dude, I used to hang out at this coffee shop a lot when I would slough school and I would go smoke pot and play chess, you know?
That was when you were a kid or an adult, both.
Both, but this was back like my sophomore year, junior year, senior year. I made up my entire high school diploma basically 2.5 years and like 3/4. But I still have my regular high school degree and all that. But anyway, make a long story short, I would go to this coffee shop and we would play chess, we would smoke pot and have fun. And this one guy would always show up and he'd be like, dude, the mark of the beast, it's coming. And he put all this programming in our heads, showed us all these videos of like George Bush Sr. saying, it's a new world order. And so, you know, I just remember as a kid, you know, I'm pretty easily it's easier to put stuff programming into somebody's head at 15 than it is at 45. So usually, not always, but he's like, yeah, if you don't, the mark of the beast, man, it's coming, and they're going to have checkpoints. And if you don't take the chip, then they're going to cut your head off, or they're going to put you in a concentration camp. And he was trying to get us all to go to like this cave in New Mexico. And he's like, I know where this cave is, New Mexico. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I don't know about the cave, man. If it happens, it happens. So, but anyway, yes. Sorry, I just told you a personal story about myself. That was kind of weird, but is really important to me. Like this, the revelation is really important to me because I've been programmed with revelation, and not from my parents, but from people outside of my family. Like I've been kind of programmed with this end of world programming since I was a little kid. So what is your take on this?
Well, I was like you. My grandparents, we read Revelation in church and at home, probably 4 or 5 times a year. So Revelation, for us, it was like, we understood that these letters, that this is, it was going to Laodicea, Philadelphia, the good guys, Laodicea, lukewarm people with no opinion. They hated the libertarians. But what was really cool about Revelation was the story by John is really remarkable. He wrote this probably on Patmos, and I think that it was almost prescient. I don't like John when it comes to studying Jesus, but I really love to read John because everything he did has stuck for 2,000 years in ways that other stuff doesn't stick to the wall. And we see it recycle over and over and over through history. Hitler was certainly, he fit all of that. But clearly, when you look at it historically, it's very simple because it's Nero. Nero is the only person of the time that it was written that could fit both two numbers. Now, here's what the deal is. This is not to prove about Nero, which is why you don't see it here. But the point here is that 666 has become this really scary number for people, right? And reasonably so. Certainly when it was written, it was about Nero, and he was persecuting people, and he hated Jews, or what you would call Jewish Christians or whatever, the people who were early into the thing. And clearly John was sending a message like, beware of this. And the number is 666, but he didn't say that. John actually wrote down 616, 616. Now, here's what's cool. This is the only number pair that fits Nero with both 666 and 616, one in Hebrew and one in Latin. Latin is 666, 616 is Hebrew, all right? And so even though John actually wrote 616, the old manuscripts of the Bible, the earliest copies that we have all have 616. There's not even a question. And then later it becomes 666, about 250 AD, 300 maybe. So about 100 years later, it's 666. But originally it was 616, and both of them refer to Nero. But now here's the interesting thing about John. If you're a conservative Christian, what it does is it sort of gives you a template. Like it's like history, I don't know if it repeats itself, but it certainly lays the turning point, the cycle, these 30 or 40 year cycles that we go through. That, like, one of my favorite lines off of Battlestar Galactica was, it's all happened before, it'll all happen again. And I'm telling you, when you look at Revelation, you can just see it templated over in a way that almost makes a non-believer a believer, because you sit there and go, oh my gosh, this is today. This has this flavor of today. You know, it's like everything. And you really, it's very hard to read Revelation if you've read like Matthew 24, the end of the days that are coming. And it goes to show you that Matthew was written after the war of the Jewish war, which is what it all refers to. Because Matthew wrote this, like, he probably wrote the first copy, maybe, I don't know, like, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, when could it have been done? It could have been about 110, maybe. See, the way that we can think about dating is real simple. We have Josephus. I told you that name, right? Jewish historian who wrote about everything. He mentions Jesus as sort of a bypassing figure, really mentions John the Baptist a lot. But he doesn't mention Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. He doesn't mention any of these early people. Why? Because they used his work to write the Bible. But that doesn't mean that all these things didn't happen and we didn't have all these cool stories. And now we know that we have the Book of Thomas dating to 80, not before the Jewish war, but certainly really close to Jesus. 50 years later, that's, in my world, that's huge. So when I see the number of the beast and I think about the Antichrist and the whole thing, I just see it keep repeating itself over and over. And of course, there will come a point where it really will be right this time.
This is, I hope not. So check this out. This was actually the Revelation decode that I did. I've just got a single screenshot that I can show. So I put together a pretty extensive presentation. But this was the decode that I came up with for Revelation 13. And I was able to go all the way, like every single one, man. I decoded it. The way that it happened was pretty interesting. Now, clearly this is just my opinion and I could be way wrong here. This is just my own personal decode. But if you read through the scriptures and if you compare them to each line that I put together, man, it's like you'll get goosebumps. The similarities are pretty wild.
I see you've got the mark in the hand or the forehead dealt with in Revelation 13:15 here, biometrics, mm-hmm. Holographic tech. Is that's that reference? Is that correct?
Well, no, 13:15 is a little bit different. Let me show you something real quick. But the first thing I wanted to share with you is the reason that I find this very intriguing is this is the patent scope. So this is World Organization, WO. That's what the WO stands for. But and 2020, I think, is when it was actually or when it came out. And then the 060606. So we got the three sixes here. This is a cryptocurrency system that is literally linked to human body activity. And there's sensors that are linked to you, whether or not these are implantable or not. But eventually, I could see how that could be done. I mean, it's not saying specifically that they put an implant in your body, but there's a sensor connected to your body and what you do. And it's a centralized currency that pays you when it deems, see right here, the cryptocurrency system communicatively coupled to the device of the user may verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system and award the cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified. So then it pays you. And it's not decentralized, it's centralized. So that, I mean, that could potentially be something that no man, rich or poor, if they were a part of a system like this, you know, well, you don't have your smart cryptocurrency system. Well, then we're not going to let you, we're not going to let you buy it.
Rex, after my book comes out, I'm going to have to play with this because this could make a great, it could make a great story. I mean, an amazing story. I think it's one of those things that we'd have to talk about offline, like,
sure,
for a long time but I mean, you definitely see Revelation replicated over and over, and you have a cool thing. I don't know about the 0606, but it wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if Zuckerberg just said, hey, call it 060606, trust me. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm gonna have you send all that over to me, and next week I gotta look at that, because that's pretty cool.
1315 in Revelation is here we go. If we were to look at the literal translation, it says this, and there was given to it to give a spirit to the image of the beast, that also the image of the beast may speak, and that it may cause as many as shall not bow before the image of the beast that they may be killed. So my translation of that was technology linked to biometrics, an advanced V2K technology, which we've seen the patents on, which sends sounds to targeted people, and then holographic tech. So this could actually, when this, I think Revelation 13, a lot of that goes all the way back to the first Gulf War.
Like 1990.
Yeah. And 1991 and Revelation 13, 1:16, 1991, President Bush gives the speech. He addresses the nation and he says, hey, we got to get everybody together to fight terrorism. And he addresses the nation and he says, we're going to have a new world order. And that was 1:16:91.
I remember that. And I remember getting a little heart pang when he said that. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I'd love to share this with you. Yeah. So I'll send you this and decode it how you will. But I think Revelation 12 happened. I know for a fact Revelation 12 happened 9/23/2017. We can link that with the star charts. When we read the scripture and then we look at Stellarium and it shows where the planets and the stars were, you can clearly see that it is specifically describing 9/23/2017. And it was just a few days. It was shortly before that. They had the eclipse off the 33rd degree parallel that started the 33rd state that was incorporated in the Union, and it left out the 33rd parallel. I mean, all these really cool. It's like, how wow. Do they do this? I feel truly, Kevin, that they're at the very top levels, like language and everything. There's this connection to our DNA. And it does seem that we were created by a divine influence. And I can't put my finger on it. I can't describe it completely, but it certainly seems like a higher power has created us, doesn't it?
I think it hits greater than 50 on my scale. That's for sure. People always ask me my theory about all that. I believe in evolution after the creation. So in other words, I think that, like I told you earlier, I really think, I don't know about Adam and Eve individually, but I think there were probably a lot of those. I think this is why Enoch is so important. And I always hate to go into it almost because it's so deep, but Enoch and Jubilees, those two books got left out of the Bible because there's a lot of truth in there and nobody wants us to have it. And why does Qumran have more Enoch and Jubilees than anything except for seven books of the Bible, but all the rest of the stuff, hundreds of other books, but they have more of Enoch and Jubilees than anything. And Enoch, he talks about the beginnings and all that kind of stuff. And we learn, like he goes into the thing. And the more you read Enoch and Jubilees, the more you're like, I get it. It's like, yeah, I do believe that we were created. I can't prove it, but I think it's more than 50. And I think that over time, I think there was evolution with quantum. Oh boy, now we're really off topic. But I believe that we were created. That part I do believe. I believe Elohim made this solar system, maybe the universe, but for sure the solar system and probably the galaxy. So because there's smart people out there and there's stupid people and there's people who never go anywhere. Okay. So somewhere somebody was testing something and this was part of the test over here. My opinion, my thought, it's just a belief. It's my way of making sense of the world. And then I think the next thing that happens after that is that they hang out for a little while. And I think maybe this time they didn't have to have Bill come home for 1,000 years of our time. I think they actually were curious to see, like, what could they get going here? Like, what could they make happen here? And then stop back maybe, I don't know, like
2030?
No, like 2450 BC though. Like, and I'm looking at pyramids and pharaoh days. I just see quantum leaps of knowledge that are not explained by logical evolution. So there are some, and when I mean quantum leaps, I'm not literally talking, well, maybe I am, I don't know, but like somebody who's way smarter than the average human in 2450, we went from no pyramids, no technology to huge pyramids and how to build amazing structures, like really super fast. Like it's not part of a progression. And this is why I think it's not Christianity. It's just the understanding that we're not What did Scully and Mulder always say? We're not alone out there. You know, I think it would be silly to think we are. And I think that's how we got to where we were, because I think we were destined for this forever evolution, like really forever evolution. How the evolution like Darwin would take it from, were there apes that went to Neanderthal? I'm sure all that happened. Did these people then integrate with humans? Well, if the Nephilim did, and I buy into that, okay, and not the Nephilim, but if the angels of God did and made the Nephilim, then why wouldn't I buy also that in another evolutionary progression, a longer one, that happened? And by the way, it doesn't say that God created the heavens and the earth. It says the earth had become a vast wasteland and ruin, and then God made light. Okay, so it's like we had already had this world. It was here. It had been wiped out in a war or something. And because if you look, the best translation of this, the one that's cleanest, is James Moffat translation, old copy of the Bible, James Moffat translation, and it's beautifully written and elegant. And he's the first person who actually said, you know, the words here are bohu and tohu, which means that this world has become a ruin, a wasteland, it's just become a disaster, to use a Trumpian term. and it became a disaster. And then the Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Okay. And that's when that happened. And it's pretty cool. If you look at it from this perspective, and it's just a perspective, then I think a lot of stuff makes sense after it, because I think that I think it was all done before as well. I think it all happened before, and I think it just didn't work. Experiment number one failed for, maybe it was the same group of people, entities, or maybe it was a completely different group. Maybe Earth is just a habitable class M planet, according to Star Trek, right? So right. I don't know. But my son brought home one day this really remarkable piece of software, downloaded it into our TV, and he said, pick a star, Dad, and go see it. And I was like, you got to be kidding, right? So I just grabbed the joystick, and I'm there. This is like 10 years ago. And so I go to the star system, and I look at all of the planets. Some of them, no life whatsoever. And you have all these things about what they're all like, and they're all different. And then you go pick another star system, and there's two with life inhabited, and you see the life as it is. And I said, you believe it too, right? Like I do, right? Because it makes sense. It's like, this is what it is. And I think that you can, just like we map our little baby Earth and our stars out there, I think other people map like much more. Like if consciousness, well, boy, what does this have to do with Joseph? But if consciousness is beyond my brain or your brain, if there's actually consciousness that goes out there, and this is what the logos would be. This is what Philo was talking about. This is what it's not really what John was talking about. John was trying to make it like the logos is Jesus, and that's really not where. That's why John, I actually believe he wrote the book of John, because I think he had a take. I think his take was wrong. I think Philo was right. I think that the Greeks and the Romans were right on this. I think it was this consciousness, like mind, spirit, like that, like, but maybe not spirit quite like a lot of people think, like Kevin has a good spirit or an evil spirit or a holy spirit. It's holy meaning set apart. You know, it's like in the original, the oldest copies of the Bible, the word spirit is a really weird word. It's pneuma in the New Testament age Greek. Pneuma, it can mean wind, you know. A lot of times it would say, and he put the spirit upon her. That just means he blew in her face. Literally, that's what it means. He put pneuma on her. And it was like a metaphor for being given the spirit, like to be part of the team. And that's what the Gnostics really believed, was is that, you know, you are now welcome to come into our sect, you know, and learn from us and to learn the mysteries. Jesus said this amazing thing one day. People hate this, all these quotes that he said, because they have to explain them away. But to me, it just makes me understand who he was. But he said, look, if we tell everybody the secrets, then they can all be saved. And I don't want that. He says that. It's in the New Testament. You know, he doesn't want everybody to be saved. It's so anti what I was taught as a kid, but it's so what he said. You know, and this is what I've always looked. It's like the oldest manuscripts. If you take the oldest manuscripts that we have, you can really see how over the next 200 years, right before the church became the church under Constantine, you can see how they fixed everything to how they wanted it. Some of the stuff they couldn't fix. Some of it, like, lest the disciples take his body and they say that he has been resurrected. They couldn't take that out. Like, there's so many things they couldn't take out because everybody already knew it, you know, but they could add stuff in. And these are the most fascinating changes in that list. And I know we're way over on time, plus on context too, but like when you look at all the stuff that was added to the Bible, all of these scriptures, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but like all of them, but especially these and Thomas and Magdalene. I mean, those six should have been our New Testament structure, but they had to get rid of Mary Magdalene because, you know, women aren't allowed to talk in church. They made sure that somebody named Paul said that, right? Well, but just look at who hung out with Jesus, who paid his bills. Mary Magdalene, Susanna, Salome, the stepdaughter of Herod, and Chuza's wife, right? So it's like these are the people who paid for Jesus. They women were, and I'm not being feminist on this, it's just logical. It's like, this is where the money came from. They had the permission of Herod to do this. If Herod didn't want this, it would have stopped instantaneously. He was totally cool with having their money go into Jesus' ministry. No problem at all. And remember that this is not the same Herod that was the great Herod that had the kids killed. This is two generations down, okay? So it's older. This is Herod Antipas. And there was other Herods too that were in charge of some of these little provinces, all right? So anyhow, so as we look at all this, it's like you start to learn that if Epiphanius is right and Jesus is so connected to Herod, that it's like there's so much that we don't see, and they must have pulled so much of this out because they didn't want you to see that Jesus was with Herod. And I'm not saying they were buddies or anything like that. I'm just saying, because I think that it doesn't work that way in anybody's world. I think here's the guy, here's the girl, they get together, they talk, he can have her in as his one of his wives, you know, or a princess. No problem. Herod had 10 wives, very few for a king. But some kings, like King David, had, what, 8, I think it was. But Solomon, he was
360 or 365?
He had vitamins, man. It's like for 3 years, you know, over 1,000, which is just mind-boggling when you think about it. I've had challenges with just a couple. So... You know, so I think that women were incredibly powerful.
700, by the way.
Was it 700?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's only 2 years worth of vitamins. Yeah,
there's got to be something significant with that. Like, why? Like, I wonder if that's connected to the Pleiades or something, because or the number
seven sisters,
obviously.
Yeah, it could be. And you know, the thing is that the early Jews, these people, they didn't really have any. There was no text. There was no scripture. There was nothing like that. It was just king, kingdom, and a basic, really, really flimsy religion that was based on these two gods and this. It kind of the weird, like, you better do what you're told. But when you look at the rules, when you look at all the rules of what you're supposed to do in life, you know, like, here's the rules. There's nothing in there that you would take out. Like, it all pretty much makes sense. It's like every single, there's 816, I think. It's like people always say, I'm very predictable. It's like, if it's in the rules, it's going to get done. If it's not in the rules, I don't want to hear anybody's opinion on it. Okay. So try marrying that guy, right? My wife, one time before we finished, she says, I wish you would have had not love me because the rules say that you have to be a good husband and stick with me, but because you love me. And I said, but I am the rules. Like, it's like I follow the rules, and the rules say that I have to be a good husband. So be happy, because you'll never get hurt. You'll never, nothing bad will ever happen to you, right? And I think that there was a lot to be said for the rules. And the fact that there was all of these rules that were actually well done is pretty telling, you know? And that's why Jesus, when he says, when somebody asks Jesus, you know, how do I have eternal life? How do I have salvation? Jesus doesn't say, believe in me and you'll live forever. That's Paul. Jesus said, keep the commandments. And the guy says, which commandments? And Jesus is like, you could just tell he was like having one of those moments. Don't steal, love your brother, you know, don't commit adultery, don't kill people. You know, it's like, people ask me this, oh, it's almost like he's like, like, I've had it with this, like, these are the rules. And then he says, but certainly there has to be more. It's like, fine, give all of your stuff to charity then. Oh, well, I don't want to do that. So,
trying to get rid of him, trying to get him out of there.
So like, there you go.
I got stuff to do. That's so brilliant. That makes so much sense. And I got to say something real quick also before we finish this up. And man, this time flew. It's absolutely flew. So 2.5 hours felt like about half an hour. And I appreciate that. You mentioned how, like, you have a strong faith in the Jewish tradition, right?
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
I think that's awesome. And I was going to say, I have a friend of mine that was raised Jewish. I don't think he's a practicing Jew now, but I mentioned to him, I said, well, Jewish, you're the chosen people, right? And he says, no, that means that we're the ones that choose to follow the law.
Yes.
Choose to follow the laws. And what you just said about, you're like, hey, man, I just follow the rules. That's what I do. I'm like, that's like embedded in your DNA almost. You know what I mean? You've got that a part of your subconscious that comes out in your conscience. And I think that's really cool. So anyway, I just wanted to make that point.
You lose nothing and you gain a lot is the way I look at it. I also don't preach it to anybody or tell anybody that they have to follow the rules. It's just like, if you want to know what Kevin's going to do, just look, it's right there. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, like, it's just right there. So, and anything else, I get to make up my own rules, you know, but if it's there, I'm not going to break those.
Right on. You know? Right on. So, and have you read the Code of Hammurabi?
Sure. Yeah. Not for a while, but like, it's certainly a huge influence on the Bible.
Thank you.
Where are you going
that.
With that?
I was just going to say, did you know that the Code of Hammurabi, if you look at the first five books of the,
yeah, Catholic, it looks a lot like,
very
the
much
law,
so.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think this is a really important point too, that people should ponder that idea. The stele that it's on, is it one stele or is it more?
Let me show it to you. I don't know exactly, but it's a big one. This one right here.
I didn't think it was that one. Okay.
So I think it's shown where they found it. Here. Let me
see if we can get
right
to
here.
It.
This is it.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. I think that's the British Museum.
Man, that's a lot of data. Look at all that.
That is a lot of data. And I think right there, yeah. And see, Egyptian, I have not a clue.
That's Shamash.
That's not Egyptian.
That looks like Shamash handing over the symbol to Hammurabi.
I don't know. It's been so long, and I don't know. But Hammurabi influenced the law, which I think means that the people who put us here at some point influenced Hammurabi, and that influenced, and sort of we see the cycle thing going again, is what it is. I think it's a good thing. I think it provides support for an evidence for a creator. I think it's a really important thing. Yeah. I think there's several of these. We can talk about that another time. I'm no expert in those things. I just look at it and I go, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, every time I see something, it's like, it happened before the Bible. What do I care? Like, I don't care. The Bible wasn't really written until 270 BC for the Old Testament. Qumran has some of the oldest period, you know, like it's got the oldest stuff. It was written before Ptolemy had the first five books translated from Hebrew to Greek. I really don't think they were written in Hebrew. I think they were written in Greek originally and given to the Hebrews to codify everything. That's the most logical, because when you look at those translations, they're almost the same as what's at Qumran. And that's bizarre. It's like, the Septuagint and the Dead Sea Scrolls are very similar. Thousands of variants, thousands and thousands. But conceptually, the Septuagint, I mean, it's no surprise the Septuagint was done where? Of course, Alexandria. And that we have the other copies only at the Dead Sea. That's the only place that we have all of this literature. So the Bible is inside of the Dead Sea Scroll Library, which is accessible online. People can get it and read it. Should I bring them? The Dead Sea Scrolls Bible. The Dead Sea Scrolls in English, Bible in English. It's a great book to have, and you can just see, and it takes you through the entire Bible of what should be in your Bible instead of the words that are there now. And it's because it's the oldest stuff that there is. Like, this is the original. Like, this is what it was, you know? And the same is true with the New Testament. If you find the oldest manuscripts and you look at what the oldest stuff says, nobody wants you to read it. It's like, because it's so not what people believed up here. They put words in Jesus' mouth and had him say all kinds of stuff. And some of that stuff is on the slides, and we'll do it a different time. And, because at 2.5 hours, I think we're good to go.
You could do 20 hours, man. You're like, you've got more energy than most. So I applaud you for that. No, that's been great, man. I really appreciate it. And yeah, let's do another round. So I want to show off your website real quick before we finish this up. And folks, you definitely need to subscribe to Kevin's YouTube channel. And here we go. Where's it at?
It's a pretty good channel, actually. Kevin Hogan channel. I like it.
I do too.
There's a lot of good stuff there.
Okay, so here's Revelation. Here's the patent we were just looking at. Here's your channel.
And there you go.
When you subscribe, click the all notifications. And see, like, seriously, I wasn't even joking. If we go back and look at some of your videos from 14 years ago that you posted on here. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
You look younger now than you did then. So
you can tell where the influence of Bulgaria is and where it ends.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 7 years ago, but then there was, yeah, man. Anyway, you're doing something right. So keep doing what you're doing. And and then I'm going to show off your website real quick. And here we go. I got pre-manipulation and it is awesome. It's going to show you stuff. Like, you're going to read stuff in there and you're going to be like, oh yeah, why the hell did I ever think of that?
Anyway. You know, the blog on if you click on, I hate to do this, I'm not sitting here to shamelessly.
No,
click,
no.
But just, if people click on persuasion influence there are, go a little lower, right below pre-manipulation and yeah, right there. If they click there, this takes you to, I think, I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. So this is all like for the public and it's all, false memory. There's a lot of cool stuff here that was blast to research. Every one of these, by the way, is like a book and not an article or a blog post. So they're all about 2,000 words each. But negotiation and how to change minds, how to be more credible, all of this stuff. And there's hundreds. This website has 3 million words, I think it is now. So it's worth looking at and checking and see what's here. There's some pretty cool stuff. I'd be amazed if people just get through this one, the first page here, these 20 articles.
Wow. And nice.
You know, there's a lot of cool stuff. It's really fun. And a lot of it relates to, without influence, the Bible gets nowhere. Jesus gets nowhere. The story of the creators get nowhere. And, Microsoft gets nowhere either. So
nice. Right on.
It was fun being here today with everybody. Appreciate it. It was great.
Thank you, Kevin. I hope you have a fantastic day. Looking forward to the next one and keep being the change the world needs to see.
I met a man named Melchizedek. He was a good man, a good man. Wandering lonely in the desert, he invited me to stay. Said I would learn to love the space. I knew a woman, her name was Jezebel. She was a wild one, a wild one. She said, come out and we could have fun. And then she wanted me to go. she couldn't stand getting too close. And I'm curious who I'll meet next, who among them I will love best. That depends upon the context, doesn't it, doesn't it? Was a sweet child. Her heart was broken, seen from miles wide, like the moon over the world. I knew a man from Golgotha. He was a giving man. He promised he would break my every day, in every way I use the word. All the water and the world. And I'm curious who I'll meet next, who among them I will love best. That depends upon the context, doesn't it, doesn't it?